The Ten Commandments have been a great priority for successful families and for great nations for many centuries. This particular commandment, the fifth commandment, speaking about family honor, is the only commandment with a promise directly related to it. God not only gives the commandment, but he promises the blessing of longevity in association with this particular promise. I believe one reason God attaches a promise to this is because God wants us to know how important this commandment is to him. He wants us to recognize that the basics of authority, the basic understanding of authority, begins in the home. And when a home understands authority, when children understand God's authority, there will be an impact in the society, in the nation, and in the world. Now, it's easy to talk about honoring our parents. It's easy to talk about loving people in the abstract. But when you start getting specific and say, honor your parent, honor your father, honor your mother, all of a sudden people begin to feel a little funny about that. Sometimes people say, well, you don't know what my father did to me. You don't know what my mother did to me. You don't understand. My father was abusive. My father was in prison. My mother left us when I was young for another man. And all kinds of feelings come into the heart when we read God's simple commandment. But I want to remind you this morning that God's word is always right. And we're not to put our personal paradigm over on top of God's word. We're to set our objections to the side and say, Lord, speak to me today. And God says, I want you to honor your parents, honor your family. Now, this commandment was clearly etched in the Jewish mind. I believe it was clearly etched in the mind of our founding fathers in this great nation. It is a commandment that is sorely needed again in our great nation. Honor your father and your mother. I read this past week the story of a 16-year-old boy who wanted nothing more than to be a sailor. That was his dream. One day his mother walked with him down to the dock. He was getting ready to go off on his journey as a sailor. As they were standing there at the dock, his mother said to him, Son, I don't think you should be a sailor. I can't get a peace about it. I don't want you to go off and be a sailor. The young man turned to his friends who were with him and said, My mother does not want me to go. I must respect my mother. I must obey my mother. I'm not going to go with you. And he turned around quietly, and in a spirit of submission, he honored and obeyed his mother. He went back to his home. He never became the captain of a great ship, but one day he did become the commander of the entire Navy, for his name was George Washington, the first president of the United States of America. I can't explain everything I believe about it, but I believe God has a special way of honoring people who honor their parents and who have honor within their family unit. Now let's delve into this morning. Notice if you would, first of all, the principle of giving honor. The principle that is found in the Bible of giving honor. And may I say, we as Americans don't do very well with it. Over in the Oriental cultures and in the countries where I have lived and visited in the Orient, it is very common to give respect and honor to someone that is elderly, to someone that is educated, to someone that is a part of the family, to someone that is in a position of authority. It is respectful, it is honoring to them, to pay attention to them and to give them time. But this principle of giving honor is somewhat of a lost art in the land in which we live. It's not something that Americans seem to obey from the heart. Now let's consider the importance of it. First of all, notice the principle of first relationship. The principle of first relationship as is taught here in the Word of God. Honor thy father and mother. These are the first people that God puts into our lives. Very basic, but very true. The first relationship. Many studies tell us that personalities, behavioral patterns, and relational styles are developed in the life of a young person by age 6. Let me say, moms and dads with young children, you're not doing the little stuff now and the big stuff later. You're doing big stuff right now. This matter of teaching your children how to respect authority, how to obey mom, how to obey dad, how to love the Bible, how to go to church, how to forgive, how to be patient, those basic things are taught at a very early age. And if you saw parental authority used well in your life and in your home, then you will have an instinctive respect for people in authority. It's something that is inbred in the life of a person who learns at a young age to honor their mother, to honor their father. There will be a following of that in your life throughout your years. We would see today in this principle of first relation many correlations from the early developmental training of a young person in that which would follow them down through the years of their life. If you experience difficulty, abuse, or trials, you may be somewhat suspicious of authority in your life. But I say this, a culture will not survive long when respect for authority breaks down in the home. When a home is crumbling, when the homes of a nation crumble, then respect for authority crumbles across all lines. You see, God designed the home to be the strongest influence on our future heritage. He designed the family to be the strongest influence on the future of this community. Now listen, there are many concerns and many ways we can be involved. Every one of us should vote. Every one of us should have our voices heard. We should be involved in making this a better community. We should be involved in making our country a better country. But you have no greater contribution to the future of this country than when you train up a child in the way he should go. Than when you spend time nurturing and helping a young person, and especially your young person. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." God says, when it comes to this first relationship, I want you to give it attention. I want you to give honor and respect to your parents. Oh, we could go on all morning with statistics. The vast majority of men in California State Penitentiary today were raised with no father. And the crumbling of the family is showing its effects in our nation today. And we need men and women who would live honorably and children who would give honor. And so the principle of first relation is very basic, but very, very needed in our understanding today. Notice secondly, the principle of displaying honor. The Bible says in verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Now the word honor means to give weight to or to regard as heavy. In other words, God says, don't take the word of your parents lightly. Don't brush it off like it's nothing. But to give entrance to their word and to let it have a weightiness in your heart. Now, how can we honor our parents? And I want to speak today to children and to young adults as well as to grown adults. How can we, in this day in which we live, honor our parents? First of all, young children show honor through obedience. A young child must honor their parents through obedience. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, a lot of the young children are not here right now. They're in Sunday school. So moms and dads, there you go. There's your family devotions tomorrow morning. Open it up and read it to them. Read the Bible to them. Show them what the Bible says. Obey your parents. You know who modeled this the best? Jesus did. In Luke 2 and verse 51, the Bible says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Now here we see that Jesus was in subjection as an earthly child. And God is looking today for children who will simply be taught and who will simply obey their parents. And may I say this, a child or a teenager's attitude in obedience is as important as the action of obedience. His attitude and respect should show honor towards his parents. You see, our parents are the first and most important line of God-given authority in our lives. And teenagers, if we do not learn to properly respond to them, we will not likely respond well to other authorities in our life. I've spent 25 years of my life working with Christian schools and churches and traveling across America teaching teenagers and preaching to teenagers in different settings. And I've learned that when there's trouble with a young person at school or at church, not always, but many, many times, there's trouble at home with that same person. Look, they don't just get sassy with the algebra teacher. They've been getting sassy with mommy first. And yet, if they have learned in that home to honor authority, they are much more likely to honor the LA County Sheriff's Officer. They are much more likely to honor the person in authority where they work. Why? Because they have been taught to obey from a very early age, you see. We should be as concerned with the attitude of our children as we are with their compliance for a project. That means sometimes, if you say, "Son, take out the garbage," and he goes, "Ah, You may have to say, son, come here. Don't roll your eyes when I tell you to do something. And we need to obey from the heart. Okay? We need to do what God wants us to do with the right spirit. That's why as a pastor over these many years, oftentimes I'll go up to someone in the church and I'll say, is everything okay? Are you doing all right? Because I know the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. But when we get in the flesh, when we get ticked off about something, all of a sudden that joy leaves and the first place we notice it is on the face. By the way, try preaching to this. It's tough. You don't have to be a real smart pastor to go up and say, I perceive we have a little problem with our spirit. See, my desire as a pastor is not just that you'll obey the Ten Commandments, but that you'll obey it from a heart of love for God. And I don't want my children, and you don't want your children, just making the bed, but we want them to learn how to obey with the right spirit. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Now, teenagers, look up here. With as many ravens as we have in Lancaster, you ought to start obeying your parents. Say, well, what's God talking about here? God's saying, look, I'm not going to mess around with a teenager that shames his mother and shames his father. There's going to be a consequence to those who deny what their parents say. So children, obey your parents, okay? Secondly, adolescents or young adults, how can they honor their parents? An adolescent or a young adult can honor their parents by helping around the house, by being involved and contributing to family life. Look at 16, 18, 20-year-olds. You don't walk straight home, don't say hi to your mother, don't say hi to your father, don't see if anything needs to be done, and go straight into your room and shut the door and watch TV and watch your computer. In fact, this is not in the Bible. This is just my opinion. I don't think teenagers need a TV in their room. If they have a computer, it needs to be so rigged and guarded that all they can access is an encyclopedia, and even that has to be guarded. But I'm just simply saying, a young adult needs to learn how to get involved with the family. And how to say, Mom, can I help do some dishes? Hey, you're living under their roof. They're paying for your food. You don't need to be told to take the trash out anymore. You volunteer. I'm going to give you a verse today if you're 16 to 22 and living at home. Maybe 49 living at home. I don't know, but I'm going to give you a verse. You just apply it. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Let's say that together. Do all things. Son, straighten up your room. Yes, ma'am. I mean, we don't negotiate it, manipulate it. Oh! You ask so much of me. Just without murmuring. You know what? When a son or a daughter complies to the parent, they're honoring their parent. They're honoring. It's so embarrassing when a teenager argues with their parent in front of other people because they're dishonoring their parent publicly. It's not just disobedience, it's dishonor. It's saying, I don't think much of you. And God says, honor your father and your mother. Now, if you're still living at home, you ought to take Philippians 2:14 to heart. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I heard about a mom named Michelle. She walked into her son's makeshift weight room. He was pumping iron, man. He was pumping it. After a while, he got up to his highest weight. His mom walked over and said, son, said, I just don't understand. Why can you bench press nearly 200 pounds and you can't pick up your clothes? It's not a matter of strength. It's a matter of heart, see. A lot of guys can jam a basketball who have absolutely no character at all because they don't honor their parents. Young children honor their parents by obeying their parents. Adolescents honor their parents by getting involved with a good attitude. But what about grown adults? How do we honor our parents? Well, we honor our parents by remembering them. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater example of that than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, suspended between heaven and earth, on the cross of Calvary, the Roman soldiers have placed the nails in his hands and in his feet. He is there not just bearing the pain of the cross, but he is there bearing the sins of the world in his body. The Roman soldier thrust the spear in his side. The vinegar has been thrust into his mouth. And from the cross of Calvary, Jesus looks down. And in John 19, 26, it says, when he saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Even as Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, he honored his mother. He remembered her. And I believe as adult children, we need to honor our parents. How do you do that? How about calling them? I mean, just calling. Hey, how you doing? For no reason. How about taking them somewhere on a trip with you? Someone says, all right, I'll take them to McDonald's. Well, that might be a start. How about sending flowers on a birthday or a card? How about just something thoughtful to be a blessing to your parent? I recently heard a pastor speaking, and he told about how his father had died recently. And he said, I went to my home place, and my mother and I walked into his office. And when we walked into the office, he said it was a disheveled mess at the top of his desk. He said, just like it always was, stuff was everywhere, books, papers, everywhere. He said, but I opened up the middle drawer of that desk, and inside the middle drawer of that desk, wrapped in rubber bands, were all the notes that I had sent to my father for the past 10 years of my life and his. He said notes that said things like, Dad, thanks for being a great dad. And Dad, I hope you have a wonderful birthday. Thanks for all you've done for me. Dad, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you today and that I loved you. Dad, thanks for all you've done. Everything else was a disheveled mess. But neatly in the center of that drawer, wrapped in rubber bands, were the notes that his son had sent to him. I'm telling you, thoughtfulness goes a long way with parents. I was at an airport the other day, and I was talking to a fellow waiting for a flight. I suppose he was 80, in his 80s. And I said to him, I said, you look sharp today. And I gave him a gospel tract. He said, thank you. He said, my son's a Christian. He said, he gave me this shirt. He was proud of that shirt. Why? It represented the thoughts of a grown child. The principle of giving honor to our parents is a lost principle in America, and it needs to be revived amongst our Christian families once again. Now let's go to the second thought, and that would be the problems of showing honor. Sometimes people hear a message like this and they go, well, that's fine for you. You probably had a perfect home and your wife probably had a perfect home and you just don't understand what I've been through. Let me just start by saying this. There is no such thing as a perfect home if there's people living there. Okay? I always get tickled with people saying, well, I'm just going to find another church, blah, blah, that's better. And I always like to say, well, you know, there's no perfect church. And the minute you walk in there, it's going to prove that point. Because the minute there's a person in a church, it's not a perfect church. Any of us, we're not perfect. So don't compare your family to someone else's family. Now, what are some of the problems we have with showing honor? Letter A, when parents' actions are wrong. Boy, when a parent has been abusive, when a parent has been absent, when a parent has been excessively angry, it makes it a little tougher. That's why, moms and dads, this message goes both ways. It's not just a message saying to the children, honor your parents. It's a message saying to us as parents, live honorably. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. And we must give a godly example to our children so that they will want to honor us. But sometimes parents' actions are wrong. But I want to say this, God is a sovereign, holy God, and he loves you, and he makes no mistakes. And the fact of the matter is, you may have difficulties with your parents, even as a grown child. You may have parents who disagree with your faith. I mean, you would think they would be thrilled you bring your children to Sunday school, but maybe it convicts them. Maybe they just don't like it, and maybe they don't encourage your faith. You may have had parents who break their word. You may have parents who think nothing of going to Las Vegas and spending $2,000 gambling, but they think you're nuts to give to the church. You may have parents who have had a moral failure, or who have left you, or who have broken your heart. The stories in the press in the past few weeks have been beyond my comprehension. Family member upon family member killing and maiming one another. And yes, there are difficulties. There were difficult families in the Bible. I think about one father by the name of Saul. He was a man with wild mood swings. He was a man who got angry in a quick moment. And he had a son named Jonathan, who remained a great and godly man in his life, despite having an angry father. In fact, 1 Samuel 20:33 says, "And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him." How many of you would say, if a father throws a spear at his son, he has a little anger problem? Saul had an anger problem, but Jonathan had a sweet spirit. I'm just saying, it's possible, even when there's been a problem in the home, to keep a sweet spirit. Let me tell you how to do that two quick ways. First of all, remember to forgive your parents. Remember to forgive them. Ephesians 4:32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now someone says, well, my dad doesn't deserve forgiveness. And maybe he doesn't on your scale. But let me ask you a question. Let's do some Christianity 101. Did you deserve to be forgiven by Jesus Christ? Did you or didn't you? Because we are all sinners and we fall of the glory of God. We fall short of God's glory. You didn't get forgiven because you were Mr. Perfect. Forgiveness is not given because it's deserved. It is given based upon the grace of God. And when God's grace is at work in your heart, you can forgive some pretty unlovely things. You see, my feelings are not as important as my obedience. My feelings about the matter are not as important as my being obedient. And God tells me to forgive. Now, you may need to go to the Lord and ask God to forgive you for your unforgiveness and for your bitterness over the years. Maybe you need to ask God to help you see the reason your parents failed or there was abuse is because they never had modeling in their lives and they came from a long line of abusive situations. And by the way, many of you are first-generation Christians and you sit here today saying, by the grace of God, the chain of abuse and the chain of difficulty has been broken and we will treat our children differently because we have Jesus in our lives. That is awesome. But you'll have the same problems in your family if you're bitter at your parents. So you must determine in your life that you would make things right in your own heart before an almighty God. Remember to forgive. Secondly, remember to control your thoughts. You see, the devil wants you to think about those past failures all the time. He wants you to think about those hurts. He'll throw them up in your face constantly. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Satan wants you to relive those wounds. He wants you to relive those hurts, and he'll throw them into your face over and over again. But I want to tell you something. They are under the blood, and they need to be put behind you so that you can go forward for God. Listen, don't ruin your future by living in your past. Don't keep dwelling on the fact that your dad or your mom didn't do what you wanted. You have a whole life to live for God. And so sometimes when a parent's actions have been wrong, it's difficult but not impossible to honor them through the forgiveness of Christ. Secondly, when your parents' advice is wrong. Now, what do you do when their advice is wrong? And I'm speaking here more to the adults right now. Once again, I challenge you to remember what it means to honor. It means to give weight to. You are not a slave to obey as a 45-year-old man, but you're not to just brush it off. You're not to treat them like they are nobody. When you go to their home at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're to still love and encourage them. Don't compromise who you are in Christ, but be honoring towards your parents. Now, let me say this. First of all, when it comes to parental relationships, a child should always obey their parents unless it is a situation of moral sin. Look it, the only time I would ever counsel a woman to leave the home in marital counseling is when she's being beaten or physically abused. By the way, if that happens to a woman in this church, she'll be counseled that way and your counseling might not be real friendly. I don't have a lot of tolerance for men who hit their wives. By the way, my hope is that there would be a restoration to that marriage and that they can get back together. But what I'm saying is, I would not counsel someone to stay in imminent danger. We want to get that situation taken care of. By the same token, I would never counsel a child who has a perverted father to obey that father and enjoy and obey that father and endure that father's continual sexual perversion or advances just because he's the father. A child does not have to obey if it involves sin and wicked lifestyle. That child needs to be protected. And that man, whether he's a congressman or a janitor, needs to go to jail. See? So People take the Bible to an extreme. We talk about wives submitting to their husbands, and they think that's some kind of dictatorship. It's a beautiful thing in the context of Scripture. We talk about children obeying their parents, and people say, well, yeah, they probably think a child should obey. What about these child that are being taken advantage of? We don't believe that should be the case. But on the other hand, in most situations, a child, even if it's not the best advice, needs to learn to obey. Let me give you an example. My wife was raised up in a non-Christian home. And as she was raised up in that home, one day some people came by from a church, knocked on her door, and asked her if she wanted to ride the bus to Sunday school. She rode a bus to Sunday school. She heard about Jesus for the first time. She went back to her home, and a few days later, someone came to her home called a soul winner, knocked on her door, and sat down at the table and opened up the Bible and led her to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, she got involved in her youth group. She started growing as a Christian. She was so excited about being saved. And she came to her folks when she was about 18 years old and said, I want to go to a Bible college so that I could be a Christian school teacher or pastor's wife or something like that. By the way, thank God she became a pastor's wife. Amen to that one. Well, she had scholarships to San Jose State and other places. Her folks said, why would you go to Bible college? We can go to one of these other colleges, make a lot more money. What kind of a young girl would go to Bible college? Mostly her dad said that. We don't want you to go to a Bible college. And so Terry obeyed her parents. She saw the authority of her father. She didn't agree with it. But she obeyed her father's authority. She went to the secular school. She stayed faithful in church. She stayed faithful in her college and career group. She worked hard. She had a good attitude. She honored her parents. And 2 years later, her dad came to her and said, you're such a good daughter. You've been such a blessing to our family. If you want to go to that Bible college, you go ahead and go to that Bible college. And because she came 2 years later, we met. And we were married. And we're serving God today. Why? Because she honored her mother and father. Now, you may not always agree, but when you're living under that roof, the rule of thumb is, children, obey your parents unless it's an abusive, perverted situation. There may need intervention in that point. Secondly, an adult should show respect to their parents. An adult should show respect to their parents. Proverbs 24:6 says, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. It doesn't mean you're going to take an unsafe parent's terrible advice to go against God, but it doesn't mean you're going to brush them off. You're going to hear what they have to say, but you're going to seek counsel from God's word and from godly people, and you're going to do what God wants you to do. What I'm saying is this. There sometimes are problems with showing honor to unsaved or ungodly parents, but those problems with forgiveness and with prayer and with patience, those problems in most cases can be worked out if we will follow the word of God, you see. So the principle of giving honor is clearly taught. The problems of showing honor can be overcome. And thirdly and finally this morning, the priority of teaching honor. We've got to get back to the place in our homes where we teach our children by our example and by our word how to be honorable young people. Parents should create an environment that would cause our children to desire to fulfill this commandment. I don't know about you. I want my parents to want, or my children to want to honor me. I want it to be easy for them to honor me. I want them to have that desire in their heart. So how can we do that? A couple of quick ways. First of all, we must remember our responsibility to train these children. We must remember our responsibility to train the children. We are to give them a good reflection of God as we provide shelter, as we teach them, as we train them. We want them to see God in us. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, how are we going to train them? Well, we must first of all train them with wisdom. That's why we're here in church today. We're trying to get God's wisdom so we can do a better job. That's why we have 35 classes in this church, many of them for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and couples and people that are parenting. Why? We want to get wisdom for this thing of raising up our children for God in these 35 adult classes. We need wisdom because every child is different. Every child has a different temperament, a different manner. I heard about a mother that was at home trying to get dinner ready, and she couldn't get the ketchup out of the bottle, and she's kind of hitting that bottle and trying to get the ketchup out. Right then the phone rang. Her 4-year-old answered the phone, and when he answered the phone, he said, "Mommy, it's the pastor on the phone." She said, "I can't come to the phone right now. Tell him I'll call back." Little 4-year-old said, "Pastor, Mommy can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle." Boy, sometimes children can create a little situation for us. We need wisdom with them in training them up, but we must train with wisdom. Secondly, we must train with authority. I don't mean some harsh authoritarianism where we're just yelling and screaming at our kids all the time, but listen very carefully. Parents are to be the authority in the home. If you are emotionally dependent on your child's acceptance, you will make unwise choices. I see it every day. Parents are just, "Oh, isn't that just so sweet? Ho, ho." It is not sweet when they're having a bad attitude. They just rip someone's hair out of their head. What is sweet about that? And if we need that type of acceptance, we'll make wrong choices. Look it, if I had to choose between being my children's father or their friend, I would choose to be their father. They only have one. Now, I want to be their friend. But God put me in their life to set boundaries. What time you're going to come in, what you're going to wear, what you're not going to wear, where you're going to hang out, what you're going to watch, what you're going to play with. Why? God put me in their life to be a father. And many times in this permissive day, parents are letting that go. And God wants us to train them with authority. Oh, it's so important. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Notice that verse. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Look, just let them hang out around the neighborhood. Let them come in just straight to the room and whatever they do in that little altar called their computer. You have no idea who their friends are, no idea what their entertainment habits are. You leave them to themselves, they will bring you shame. It's a Bible promise. Mark it down. God says you're to set some boundaries. You're to be involved in giving some oversight. And I want you to know this, that a properly functioning family is the birthplace for respect of authority. You can ask the police officers in this church. They've seen it as well. They see the children out at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. And I know they ask the same question I ask. Where are the parents of these children? Why aren't they getting involved? You see, God put the parents there to set that authority. And then thirdly, train with love. You see, authority without love will always lead to imbalance. Now, sometimes as Christians, we can make this mistake. We can get all excited about the commandments and the authority, but we forget the love. And as I've often said in family seminars, rules without relationships breeds rebellion. So we've got to have the mix of the authority with the love, speaking the truth in love. And our children should know we will never stop loving them. But let me tell you this. If you think loving your children is giving them everything they want, you're wrong. That is a wrong representation of God in their lives. God has not given you everything you want. Sometimes a child needs to hear us say no. Look, it's not just about a trip to Disneyland or a new car or a new bike. And if you think you can buy them off, you're missing the point. That's not what love is about. Love is about time. Love is about prayer. Love is about kneeling at the bedside or opening the Bible or showing up spontaneously at their lunch hour and taking them to lunch or writing them a note or doing whatever it is God puts on your heart. You cannot buy your children's love and respect. We must remember our responsibility to train our children. Secondly, we must remember our responsibility to pray for our children. I pray for wisdom, and you do too. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I pray for my children. I challenge you to pray for your children. Look at moms and dads, and may I say grandmas and grandpas, pray for the children. I have a collection of letters from my grandmother, and she's up in her 90s now, my only living grandparent. And she has sent me letters. I think I have 2 shoeboxes full of letters in the last 20 years from her. It's amazing. Well, it's 22 degrees here in Colorado. We got a light skiff of snow, and I just want you to know I prayed for you this morning, and here's a verse I read, and all these things, over and over and over again. You know what she's doing? She knows she's getting ready to see the Lord, but every chance she gets, she's just throwing a little more scripture, throwing a little more prayer. She's just investing a little more into the life of her grandson. It's never too late to pray for your children. Look, when we get to heaven someday, it's probably going to amaze me why God blessed this church, and I have a feeling a lot of it's going to be the prayers of a grandmother that God was answering and God was blessing. Pray for your children. Well, notice the promise of this verse, and we're done. Notice this in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, obviously, someone who obeys their parent is probably going to live longer for very practical reasons. For example, teenagers, there is a reason your parents have said, do not play in the street. They want your days to be prolonged. But it's not just meaning that. Because remember a few weeks ago, the children of Israel had just come out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, and now they're beginning their journey. They're going on to the promised land, and God is telling them, hey, if you want this great time in your national history to continue, if you want to keep on being blessed, if you want that land that has been promised, if you want to see the days of this blessing go on and on and on, then don't forget, it's all about the family. If you keep the family thing right, the rest is going to turn out right. Now, we live in the greatest land in all the world, right here in the United States of America. I'm proud of our military might, our national resources, our capitalism. People are trying to copy it all over the world, including China, and it works. But wait a minute. If we don't get back to honor in the family, I don't care how strong the economy or how many missiles we have, this country is crumbling down. Because God says, if you want your days to be long, don't forget the family. Don't forget to honor mother and father. Don't forget this principle. And I close with this. Parents, are you the type of a parent that a child wants to honor? Children, are you adults and young children giving honor in the way God wants you to? And I'll tell you where it all begins, and listen carefully. It all begins with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us about a man who was such an honorable man. His name was Timothy. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. Timothy was an honorable man because he had an honorable mother who taught him how to be saved. She taught him that Jesus died for his sin. She taught him that Jesus Christ was the Savior. And Timothy accepted Jesus as his Savior. And he was made wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ, through the Word of God. And if you're here today and you don't have a Savior, you do not have Jesus in your heart, then you cannot have a Christian home. You cannot lead with honor until Jesus Christ is present in your heart and in your home. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I urge you today to let the honor begin by receiving Christ as Savior. Because there's nothing really honorable about us, but He's an honorable and a worthy God. And when He comes into us, He can change families and He can make all the difference if we will trust Him as our Savior. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for this commandment, honor thy father and mother. And I thank You that, Lord Jesus, You loved Your mother even from the cross. Help us to be thankful and remember.